It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
6 minutes now after two. We're into the third and final hour of the program, live with me, Nayelu Pondona, until 3 o'clock. And we do have our pastor, who is our daily focus pastor for the week, Pastor Andrew Piri, joins us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Pastor, and thank you once again for joining us.
Good afternoon, Naye, and thank you for having me back again.
So today we're talking about the power of community and accountability. And I'm okay with that. Being part of a supportive faith community provides essential encouragement, I suppose. But then again, I'm not quite sure if that's entirely true. And while we may put it out there as a beautiful thing, it's supposed to be, but it's not always that way. But then again, we need to talk about it anyway. We have to be clear about what we're talking about. So just give me a definition from where you're standing, Mfundisi. When we're talking about a community of believers and the very idea of accountability to that community, what does that mean? Because some people tend to think, hey, you're not the boss of me. You're not the God of me. I don't have to account to you. So just give us a definition of what is we're going to be working with here, community, and what kind of accountability are we talking about here?
I think simply community, we'll be talking about a grouping of like passion, hearted and like-minded people. These are people who've agreed to get together. So it's like passion, like-minded, similar characteristics coming together for a particular cause, if I could put it that way.
Okay.
And accountability, again, two people must comply, must admit that I'm going to submit a certain part of myself to your evaluation, and
right,
you're also going to submit a certain part of yourself to my that Dorcas mother or that mother at the door,
right,
holding that young lady accountable because she's come dressed a certain way. It's not an accountability partner.
Okay.
Because you see that the term partner is the operative word,
right?
Because there hasn't been that understanding that you're going to hold me accountable.
So how has being part of a Christian fellowship or a small group strengthened your faith and helped you resist temptation?
A great deal. And my communities actually go beyond church.
Okay.
I have various communities that help me, you know, keep the areas of my life peeled or pruned just so I can continue to grow. Right. I actually just finished writing a book, and I hope to feature on the author's segment of AWR.
Okay.
Because it's talking about a community that helped save my relationship with God.
Yeah.
There's an interesting story there of how I went to church high on marijuana one time for Holy Communion.
I can't imagine you.
I was already done with school, by the way.
Yeah.
I was already done with theology when this happened. So it's an interesting story. Look out for it. Book should be out by August.
Okay.
But yeah, it was that community that sort of helped me come back together, and helped my view of God.
Wow. Yeah. I was just about to ask you to share an experience, but now I'm curious to know, did you have, or can you tell us how your community did that? You're saying you went there and your community helped you. How did they help you? And perhaps was there a mentor in the mix there in that community that called you to order and say, hey, wena, not too much, kalugu?
So, you know, it was actually the first time in my life I actually learned what space cakes are.
Okay.
There might be a listener who actually knows what these things are. I learned that year what space cakes are. They are marijuana infused cookies.
Right, right.
Or brownies.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what they were.
Right.
So I had a bite. In fact, I had a whole piece of that, and I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Now, coming from a life where I used to smoke, when the symptoms started to show up, I was like, oh, hello, old friend. But I had already started off from home to go to church for Holy Communion, so I still had to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's not a very Adventist thing to do. Like, you're a sinner now. You're tainted. How do you show up in church?
Right.
It was a fun experience, you know, kneeling for prayer and then thinking everyone is kneeling too long. Maybe everyone is done praying. I should sit down. Then I sat down and I'm like, wait.
Maybe imagine having to laugh out loud while everyone is quiet.
The hallucinations in church were hilarious.
Yes, I can imagine.
So I reached out to a friend of mine. He's a pastor in Ghana.
Yeah.
And I told him, bro, I need you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who was going to wash my feet for communion.
Right.
But that experience, when he came, he washed my feet, sat next to me, we had Holy Communion.
So you told him that you were high?
Yes, I told him. I said, listen, I'm really high, right? I'm as a kite. But I don't think God would want me to run away from him in this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I think because I'm in danger, he would want me to run to him because he's
absolutely,
my father.
Absolutely, yes.
And so the way they embraced me and just encouraged me in light of that.
Right.
In fact, a ministry was born out of that experience. It's called Worship Circle.
Okay.
And just the way I was embraced, Worship Circle became this space where people could just come as they truly are.
Right.
But be very open to God pointing out.
Yeah.
Flaws in their life. That's not all God does.
Yeah.
But be open to God pointing out you're not doing well in this area.
Right.
So yeah, that was what it was for me. And one mentor who's helped me along my journey is a man named Dr. Oberhoster.
Okay.
He's been such a help for me.
Right.
Telling me, go watch this movie.
Yeah.
And then I go watch it and it's so mind-blowing and then we come and discuss it.
Yeah.
That's how he's helped for me.
Okay. Was the Ghanaian friend your accountability partner?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yes, he was.
Is he still your accountability partner? Or do you have somebody different now?
I have somebody different now.
Yeah.
In fact, I have three other brothers now who help me in keeping me accountable.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was, because he was physically present.
Yeah.
We were within the same area. But now, because of distance and all of that, it's been difficult.
Okay.
But now I have three other brothers that are physically here that help me with staying accountable and keeping me sane.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying. My mind is going all over the place now to imagine. I mean, after all, pastors are people. Hey, pastors.
Yeah.
They go through very same things we are going through. It's in my mind now. I'm thinking, actually, you really do need an accountability partner. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. I'm going to read for those who don't have their Bibles, and then we can discuss that, Mfundis. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 reads, "And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. And that's where my question is based. How does Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 inspire you to prioritize fellowship with other believers?
You know, I'm very selective when it comes to what group I'm going to fellowship with.
Okay.
It's just not the symbol on the door that says I can be here.
Okay.
The analogy I give is that when a hand is cutting onion and something flies into the eye, no matter how much the hand wants to help,
it's going to do more harm.
Because of the toxins on the finger,
the
eye is going to close with whatever has flown in.
Yeah.
So the verse isn't just about, just gather together, whether the people are toxic or not.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the text in verse 25 says, but encouraging one another.
Right.
It's got to be an encouraging environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, that's what fellowship does for me. And that's why I'm very selective.
Yeah.
I go where I find God's encouragement.
Okay. Wow.
I
like that analogy. I'm going to use it. I like that analogy of the hand that cannot help, even though it wants to, it aches to help the eye, but you're already filthy, Baba. You're going to do more harm. Wow, that's a beautiful one.
Yeah,
I could say a lot about that. Oh, Funis, thank you very much for that analogy. All right, let's talk about the activities. I mean, I've always found it rather well, double-sided, the idea of church activities. And in my mind, I could be wrong, but in my mind, church activities are things like afternoon program, for example, or Sabbath school lesson, or going to a Dorcas rally, or whatever, things that are church-oriented. So that's what I'm curious to know, Funis, in what ways can regular participation in church activities and ministries enhance your spiritual growth and private life, provide a strong defense against the devil, schemes, and perhaps build you and your ability to resist the devil?
Yeah. Matthew chapter 4, you know, with the temptation of Christ.
Right.
Those were really grand temptations.
Yeah.
And that's why they were temptations, because he could have given in.
Right.
That's why they're called temptations. Right. Because if he wasn't tempted by it, like, you know, like you gave the example.
Right.
Alcohol doesn't, like, it doesn't do anything for you. So to present you with alcohol is nothing for you.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
But also remember, I said habits condition the heart.
Right.
So when the heart is so conditioned, then the devil has got nothing on you.
Right.
Right. So activities, it's unfortunate that sometimes we get so caught up that we lose the meaning of what these activities are.
Right.
And
right.
So people who plan these activities, their intention should be for these activities to create habits and habits to condition the heart.
Right.
So that in the day when temptation comes, we don't fall for it. Right.
Yeah.
So those activities help in that way. So it's not just attendance. Sometimes, you know, I hear people standing in the front and guilt tripping people into attending. It's not just attending.
Right.
Tell people why attending is so important.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that habits condition the heart.
Right.
So the more you, there's the song, the rhyme that we should read your Bible, pray every day.
Yes.
If you, and you grow. So it's not just reading the Bible, but it's that when it becomes a habit, it conditions your heart.
Right.
So that in the moment when a temptation comes, you will be shocked at how a scripture comes to mind that you didn't think would be related to this thing you're experiencing.
Right.
That's what those church activities are for.
Yeah, yeah.
So there must be like intention in planning those things.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
To condition. Yeah. Okay. And then just circling back to the concept of an accountability partner and mentors, what would you say to encourage people to seek out and find themselves a mentor or an accountability partner? I mean, this, if it's as important and as necessary as you've just described it, then perhaps me and everybody should have an accountability partner. Because after all is said and done, if you cannot resist the devil by your own strength, you need somebody who's going to help you, who's going to bear that burden of resisting the devil, who's going to be able to encourage you. Don't go. The yazazka look where I but weak. So what would you say to encourage people to get an accountability partner and a mentor?
So I think it's contained in the Great Commission.
Okay.
Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations.
Okay.
My heart breaks when that is just translated as go ye therefore and preach to all nations, because people think it's putting up a tent meeting and making, like, producing noise pollution, and then you can move on because you preached.
Noise pollution.
But it's much more than that.
It's
about coming close to someone and walking with someone.
Right.
Because what Jesus was saying is, you've seen what I've done with you for the last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now go and do the same.
Right.
That's why in John chapter 20, he says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you.
Okay.
So in the same way I've walked with you, you've seen where I sleep, you've seen how I sleep, you've seen how I manage the finances. Now go do the same. So it's similar to getting a mentor.
Right, right.
Somebody who can help you in different areas of your life.
Okay.
And that's why I was saying I have three brothers who are helping me, because they're all helping me in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of them will not cover every part of my my existence. Otherwise, then I'm patterning my life after this particular individual.
Okay.
So they each have different strengths, and so they speak to different parts of my existence.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to just share or leave you with Acts 18 on this particular point where you have Priscilla and Aquila.
Yeah.
Who pull aside a young man named Apollo, who's preaching quite vibrantly, but there were few things that he didn't know. So they pull him aside and they teach him more clearly the things of God. So they mentor him such that now when he moves forward, he now preaches it more completely. Mm. So we do need mentors if we're going to grow in any way in our lives. I mean, we do it corporately.
Right.
You know, in the corporate space. Why not in the spiritual
Absolutely.
Space as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. All right. I hear you, Vanessa. I hear you. I really do hope people are taking these conversations seriously, because I do suspect with the demise of the family structure, with the destruction of individual, independent moral values, I do suspect we have not taken the concept of resisting the devil to heart. And these conversations are designed to remind us that we're not supposed to give in to the devil, but to resist the devil. And I appreciate you, Mfundisi, for coming through and giving us these perspectives on how we can and should resist the devil. Looking forward to our final conversation tomorrow, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much, Naye. You have a good one, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. That's how we end our conversation with the good pastor, Pastor Andrew Piri, who always is ready, willing, and able to help and shed some light to all the conversations we have with him. All the pastors like him, we are such a blessing and a credit to theology students and people who come out and become theological practitioners like him.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.